Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them, and shall be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Revelation 21, verses 1 through 5. We shall have occasion to refer to this text in the course of our lesson on the subject of heaven. The highest, greatest, and fondest hope of anyone who realizes what he is must be to reach heaven. There is nothing in this life that could possibly compensate for the failure to reach heaven. This sermon is intended to make us see heaven as best we can with our limitations, and to make us want to go there more than ever. We would like to motivate us to make our calling and election sure, and to lead us in paths of greater faithfulness and service, so that heaven will be the home of the soul. How often have we asked, What will heaven be like? Is there really any significant way for us to describe heaven? Any sufficient pattern that we can learn about heaven? What is it in this earth that really is comparable to heaven? We have various descriptions, but we can be sure that they fall short of adequacy. And this is because of our inability to comprehend such majesty and grandeur, and also because there are just simply not words in our language that can do justice to the glory of heaven. But enough is revealed to us to make us confident that we want to go there. Heaven is a place. I go to prepare a place for you, Jesus said in John 14. It is a place where God is, Matthew 6:9. It is the place where Jesus ascended, Acts 1 and verse 11. And what kind of place is it? Heaven is a place of security and permanence. What real security does this life and this world offer us? There is nothing here upon which we can really depend. Our health, wealth, happiness, even life itself, can be gone in a moment. We know not what a day may bring forth. Everything on which we look can be taken away in just a matter of moments. And someday the entire universe will be no more. The very best that worldly and earthly things can offer is temporary and false security. Nothing here is permanent. It is as a king reviewing his troops who were young and strong and stalwart men. But they would not long remain that way. With nothing more than just the passing of time, they would be gone. But heaven offers us a real and permanent security. Luke chapter 16 shows that there is a great gulf fixed between the redeemed and the lost, and no passing from one to the other. And while this is frightening if we are among the lost, it is comforting to know that once in heaven there will be no departing. The things gained in heaven shall never be taken away. Heaven will be forever ours to enjoy. For there is no limitation in time, but it will be forever and ever without end. Jesus said, Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. Matthew 6:19 and 20. Heaven is a place of eternal life. Matthew 25 and verse 46. The song says, Earth holds no treasures, but perish with using, however precious they be. Yet, there's a country to which I am going. Heaven holds all to me. And heaven is described as a better country. Now, we who are Americans are blessed to live in what we think is the greatest and wealthiest land of all, the most productive nation that men have ever known. The standard of living in our land is considerably wealthy by the standards of most of the world. Our system of government that gives us freedom have proven to be a blessing to mankind. Surely this land has been blessed by the giver of every good and perfect gift, the one from whom all blessings flow. But even here, there are many things that cause distress and discomfort. Everywhere around us, we're witnessing an increase in moral degeneracy, lewdness, the raging of sin that concerns the godly. Sensuality and debauchery abound, even in high places. All manner of evil is being considered respectable and acceptable. And with the increase of disrespect for authority, a contempt for earning one's livelihood by working, on and on one can name the problems of this land. And while this is the best of lands, there is so much ungodliness, and it is growing rapidly. And godly influences are not able to hold it back. We're very much in danger of losing our blessings by turning further and further away from God. But heaven is a better country. It is not only better, it is the best. Hebrews 11:15-16, we read, "And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." Now while this might have had some reference to the land of Canaan toward which Abraham was going, the phrase denoting it to be a heavenly city makes it all the more sure that the beautiful place called heaven was in mind. Now some have denied that the patriarch ever had any thought of life beyond this one, but this passage shows he not only thought about it, he looked for it. Hebrews 11:10 teaches, "For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." My dear friend, that is heaven. Life on earth is precious, but heaven is more so. Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I know not. For I am in a strait betwixt the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." Philippians 1:21-23. This world is not our home. We're just passing as sojourners going to a better place. It is much like a bridge that we cross in order to enter the eternal promised land. But heaven is also a place of rest. When Christ invited people to come unto him, he promised, "I will give you rest." My friend, there's coming a time when we will rest from our labors. "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." Revelation 14:13. "And therefore we should not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Galatians 6:9. Heaven is a place of reward. Matthew 5:12 says, "For great is your reward in heaven." And it is a place where the saved will hear the word, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Matthew 25:23. You see, life is our time for work and service. The toil at times may be difficult and wearisome and discouraging, but we are laborers in the vineyard of the Lord. The night is coming when none shall work. In the midst of our labor, there awaits us a place of eternal rest. The hardships of this life will be over, and the peace, the calm, the serenity, the contentment for which we all long will be a reality. Oh, how we sing of that place that is called heaven. O land of rest, for thee I sigh. When will the moment come when I shall lay my armor by and dwell in peace at home? Life may seem to be a forest, but it is a forest surrounded by light. And as we keep going, we come ever closer to that light of an eternal day of reward and rest. Now, our opening text speaks of the New Jerusalem. Well, there are many that differ over what this means, but I would persuade you that it has reference to the Lord's church, because the Lord's church will someday be taken to heaven. 1 Corinthians 15:24. We should consider the ultimate destination of the church that's presented here, friend. Surely every description of New Jerusalem is not a picture of the church here on earth, because often there are tears and sorrows and pains. But faithfulness in the Lord's church, the New Jerusalem, will eventually take us to that place where there is no grief. The great city described in Revelation 21 has reference to the ultimate destiny of the church. It is a symbolic presentation, heaven being a spiritual place, inadequately described in material terminology. The great dimensions, the precious metals, the unsurpassed grandeur, lighted by the glory of God, where no unclean thing enters, no sin, nothing to mar our blessed state, surely this is heaven. It is the place where the names of the redeemed are written, and it behooves us to ask, is my name written there? O Zion, lovely Zion, I long thy gates to see. When shall I dwell in thee? It is beyond our mental capacity to conceive of heaven in its fullness of glory, but God presents it to us in the richest, most beautiful, majestic terms our minds can grasp. And friend, you see, heaven is a gift, received as an inheritance. 1 Peter 3 and verse 4, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. My listening friend, no man can merit heaven. If we enter therein, it will be by the grace of God and because God gives us this inheritance as children. God's grace is manifested through Christ, who gave his life in the plan of salvation. If we follow his plan, we will be given heaven. There is a giver who is God. There is the receiver. We are blessed to be the receivers. Christians are the children of God, and God is their Father. Paul wrote, For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the Spirit of God again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Romans 8:14-17. Yes, friend, heaven is the ultimate inheritance of God's people. In heaven are beautiful mansions. Jesus said, In my Father's house are many mansions. We're taught in that same passage that Christ is there, and we shall be with him in heaven. And 1 John 3 and verse 2 says we shall be like him, that is, in heaven with God as a child of God. Yes, there is that land that is fairer than day. How we thrill to sing the songs of praise that speak of it. Who will be allowed to enter therein? Jesus implies that most will not go the way that leads to life. Matthew 7:13-14. He says relatively few will. Who will make up that few? Friend, it's those who are in his church. They are the ones who are the saved. Ephesians 5 and verse 23. Those in the kingdom will be delivered to the Father. 1 Corinthians 15:24. The church is the Lord's kingdom. Heaven has been called a prepared place for a prepared people. We prepare for heaven in this life by coming to Christ for salvation by obeying the gospel. We're invited to come. The Spirit and the Bride say, Come. Revelation 22:7. And even now Christ stands at the door of our hearts, knocking and asking to be allowed entrance so that we can someday enter into the joy of the Lord. Regardless of whatever else we might gain or lose in this life, the goal of the Christian is firmly set on heaven. May we so live that we shall be privileged to live there together with all the saints and with deity. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.